So Andrea, to be able.
Just burped. I just did a burp. That's just okay. I just got to get it out.
Well, I'll whip one up for you a little bit later.
Oh, you don't need to burp as well. Oh, okay. Mine's just my uncontrollable vertigo, I think, is causing excess gas in my body.
So sorry. Yeah, well, after everything we saw yesterday, which was Wednesday, which is normally our recording day.
Yeah. Usually that's when we do record. But you know, we got really distracted
by the collapse of our society and government.
I mean, the attempt, of course,
a bunch of lunatics. But the only way to be able to show up today was to I've just been ignoring the news all day, so that I don't go down a goddamn dark spiraling. Because that's what was happening yesterday. We were like, let's push recording. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I sat in my bed. I think I was like, well, should we skip boot camp? Like, Brian and I had been doing boot camp, but we did it like two crazy exercise classes 2 days in a row.
Right.
And I was like, let's just skip today. Like, this is all prior to all everything that started. And then I sat in bed for hours, and then I finally was like, should we get up and move? Should I eat something? And then when we finally ate something, we sat outside and ate, and I think I texted you, it was like taking a lunch break in hell. Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, you know, it's like, it's been a crazy day, but this roast beef with poblano mustard, it's pretty tasty.
Ooh, that does sound really good. Yeah. Like, I was really proud. I texted everyone in our group that we talked to. I was like, update. I rode the bike and took a shower. Officially allowed to start drinking now, you know, because I was. Yeah, it was just hard. I can't believe I didn't start drinking till 5 p.m. You know,
I didn't drink at all. Again, the vertigo triggers things especially when I drink. But I did. It was one of those days where I was like, I took a shower, and then like a few hours later, I was like, I feel like I need to take another shower. Like, it was one of those days where I was like, showers, like, just take a bunch of showers today, rinse, just wash it all off.
Rinse off that.
Just wash off what your eyes have seen. Oh boy. All right. Well, here we are. Welcome to Sidework Podcast.
Welcome to Sidework. We're happy to be here. We saw online, a lot of you saw everything we did, and terribly impressed by what you saw. It was super frightening. And we were going to do sort of a, we have this, and don't worry, we're going to do it next week.
We're going to do it. Yeah.
So excited about the episode that we wanted to do, but again, for emotional reasons, just to keep our sanity, we're like, let's keep it light and fun, maybe a little topical, and read some of your server submitted stories again.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought that would be really fun, you know, but we do want to get into a couple things first. First of all, if you guys haven't joined the Patreon, as always, please join, you know, get on over there to the Patreon link, which is on our Instagram.
Yes, it is.
See the different tiers you guys can get into, and let's have some fun in 2021, guys. Huh?
Let's do it. Yeah, fantastic. Please subscribe, rate, and review over on Apple iTunes Podcasts. We see that a few of you have done it, and we appreciate it. It's just really good for us. Like I keep saying, it keeps us relevant and in the charts, because that's how people get listed, is having lots of subscribers, ratings, and reviews, which is great because we have a really nice amount and we can always use more. And it's literally like a 2-second task. So if you can look for us over there and just smash that 5-star button and write something nice, that would be dope as hell. Yeah, so let's hop into some headlines. Let's get headlining with it.
Yeah, man. We have some great headlines. I mean, no surprise, Eater DC is on top of their shit, you know, and just staying super duper duper topical. This first article that I want to talk about is basically just like all the restaurants in DC, like especially in that downtown area, like all saw this coming.
Like, yes.
Everybody knew what was going to happen. And because of the behavior with Trump supporters in the past, they already knew what they were getting into. And they're just like, oh, fuck, like it's going to be on like a scale times like 1,000. I mean, so this article basically talks about, you know, there's this bakery, Rose Avenue Bakery, which is only open from Thursday to Sunday. And Wednesday, which, you know, yesterday, is like they're really only huge. It's their huge prep day, right, basically. And they have to make the decision, like, do I stay open and prep for my business for the weekend, or do I think of my own safety and shut down and ultimately fuck myself out of money during a pandemic? Like, these are the decisions that restaurants had to make prior to this huge fucking shit show yesterday.
Yeah. And as we all know, like, everyone's already been struggling, you know, where every customer turned away is dollars that are not going to line your pockets and that are not going to help keep you afloat after all this shit. And so what a mental conundrum to be in, you know, where some places, I mean, as we'll talk about all these other headlines and everything we saw happening in DC, it was a real gamble to decide to open or close.
Totally. Hotels are shutting down, you know, and there you also, it's almost like the most warped, it's almost like a fucking Jimmy Buffett concert, like, came to town, like a bunch of parrot heads, but they're like Trump butts. Let's call them Trump butts instead of parrot heads. Come to town days in advance and prep, so they have like a front and center fucking view of insanity. And so, of course, they're already descending upon restaurants. And of course, what other choice? I mean, this is the thing about working in restaurants, is like your bias kind of like is checked at the door, you know?
Right.
You're there to feed people.
Of course. And we do. And like, here's the thing, for anyone who might quickly feel like we're being really alienated or partisan, we're not trying to be, even though I think we're really clear that we don't like Trump at all. He's a menace to society and his fans are out of their fucking minds. But in any normal situation, of course you serve people who wear the red hat. Of course you totally do. You know, you can joke about it or have your inside thought, but we don't, it's just not the nature. They're not getting turned away from restaurants. As a matter of fact, they fucking terrorize and get their way all the time.
Right.
This is more that what you were seeing was, on top of throngs and sort of like scary group, it's sort of like the way you batten down the hatches for St. Patrick's Day. That's what I'm saying.
But
the extra point, sorry, I was going to say, it's like, it's not just the red hat. It's the mix of Trump. And also, I don't believe in COVID. You are not going to get me to put on a mask. So fuck that.
That's more what's happening. And I think the anticipation of a lot of these restaurants was that, like, they know that.
Right.
They know the behavior
pattern. Right, of course.
This group. You know, there's a tweet on this article from @BrianRapp that says, like, be safe today, service workers in D.C. I already had to kick out two Trump supporters who wouldn't put on masks. They said, enjoy being slaves on their way out. You know what you say when you're accustomed to privilege.
Absolutely.
What a fucking mess.
Because it really is like, you are making the choice to be extra exposed in all the ways, exposed to a virus, exposed to a day of probably nonstop fighting with customers, which, as we know, any type of unruly day where we talk about SantaCon or, like I said, St. Patty's, like, and the thing is, most of these people weren't even drunk. It's just their conspiracy theories
drive
this attitude.
So switching to this next article in The Eater, talking about this restaurant called The Alibi.
Yeah.
Was basically, they're talking about how goddamn busy they were all day.
Yes.
Inundated with people who were going to the rally, who wanted to go food, who weren't complying with public health standards today, not wearing masks, very close together, kept asking over and over again, can we eat inside, like, the hotel lets us do it? Why can't we do it here? And the person who work, I mean, the whole staff said that, like, they never stopped moving so much that they had no fucking clue what was even going down. That's how busy they were.
They didn't know that, like, someone had been
blocks away,
shot and killed, that people had breached the Capitol and were literally in the chambers, sitting in the House Speaker's chair, getting in her office and stealing sensitive material. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen.
And that itself says to all of us who understand the restaurant industry how busy you actually are.
To not that even
you
know.
You have no idea what's happening between your fucking weeded tunnel vision.
Yeah.
You know? That's how insane it is. And it is pretty, it's nuts though to be, and again, this comes down to like, yeah, I have to make money to survive in this pandemic. Yes, this is what I do. I run a restaurant. But man, oh man.
Well,
can you fucking imagine?
People were, you know, I think the optics of someone, you know, anyone with any opinion can go in, take a quick picture, blast it and be like, no, you know, no social distancing being observed here in this restaurant, the alibi, because they were being accused of allowing indoor dining. They were not. They were just packed to the gills with Trumpers who were waiting for carryout, but refused to go outside. And because they were indoors and don't care about masks, they just took them all off and were on their phones totally. Doing whatever they wanted. So it looked like indoor dining, but it wasn't. He's like, they just walked by every sign that said, you have to have a mask on to be served. And everyone's like, yeah, fuck you. We're going to dine inside. And it's it's crazy. Like, as far as the alibi owner is concerned, the fucking Trump rally stormed his business and his business only.
Oh, it took over everything. I mean, as things do, again, like, that's why I think of it as like a music festival, like a, you know what I mean? But you look at some of these tweets of the videos that were sent out from the alibi, and it literally looks like Super Bowl Sunday with people like screaming at the TV. So, you know, it is a lot. And then on top of it, can you imagine like this chaos happening where you don't even know what's going on? Then you get word you have to close at 6.
Yep.
You know, and then you have to be like, at what point do you cut that off and say you can't get your order now? Like, how backed up are you? What a fucking day.
Totally.
What a day.
What a day. In the weeds, under siege. You know, that maybe that's our new term for in the weeds in 2021. We're under siege.
Under siege.
Yes.
Which is also a really pretty, not terrible Steven Seagal movie. No, it's pretty bad. I think it was his most commercialized one, though. Ooh, anyway, okay. We'll do a different episode on that.
Yeah.
That'll be bonus content on the Patreon.
I'm so tired.
Lastly, I mean, or to add on to. So Jose Andreas, who we fucking love. Who runs World Central Kitchen. He activated it last night. DC is his home.
Yeah.
He's an amazing chef, humanitarian, fucking philanthropist. His number one thing is to feed the hungry.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
If you guys don't know this. And was doing it prior to the pandemic, but like now with the pandemic has just set up like the most beautiful kitchens, not only to help like all across the board hungry people, but like really has given back a lot to restaurant staff and workers in the front of the house and in the back of the house. But so last night, of course, he activated it, drove to Bethesda, immediately picked up 120 pizzas from Domino's, fucking delivered them to police officers who were hungry. You and I were talking about, I texted you. We just tweet to each other.
We're that impersonal at this point that I wait for a notification that Andrea tweeted at me.
Did she tweet at me? Do I have to retweet it? Is that how we, but I texted you last night and I was like, you know that there's amazing restaurants feeding these people.
They're
tonight,
going to,
feeding
right.
The cops.
And taking care of the police officers, which, you know, like obviously I've started to go down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theory. We all saw the videos of some weird people letting the gates open and letting these people mob this Capitol, like whatever. The average person was called in from neighboring states and out of the goodness and the necessity of helping to control the situation are far away from home, further than they would normally be, with no one looking out for them to be hydrated and fed while risking their safety and once again, like potentially being trampled by insane rioters. And I think it's just, you know, it's important to note that like you really do fuck everybody over, even though it's for the safety, when everything closes at 6.
Right.
And everyone's going to be on the streets until 6 in the morning the next day.
Right.
And it extended to their cities as well. So say if they were let off their shift halfway through the night, everything's closed in Maryland anyways.
Totally.
You know, so this was a really fantastic reason to show no preference and to just be like, these are people who need to be fed. And that's correct. Why the restaurant industry can be such a fucking beautiful, beautiful thing sometimes.
Oh my God. You know? He's, I mean, other than picking up pizza, then there's like videos of him around DC, like just being like, this is, I'm like, here I am in front of the Capitol building. Like, here I am. Where does the Constitution live, Brian? You know, the hall. Where's the
right? I know what you're gonna say too. God, last time I was at the,
my brain is broken.
I mean, I've never been. I've gone to DC a bunch, but I've only gone.
It's the archives. It's the big the hall archives. Of archives. It's the big archive. So like, there, you know, he's standing in front of the archives building, just being like, this is where the most important document in the country lives. Like, this city is so important to me. This mm-hmm. is my home. I have become everything here. Like, just such a love letter to his city. And then cut to him like at 1 a.m. in his kitchen making pasta and stews and frying eggs for sandwiches and delivering them all night long. Like,
do we all, can we reflect for a minute?
And yet no right. fucking bailouts. You know what I mean?
No bailouts. Nope. This person's just like, let me feed thousands for free. Cause clearly you're not taking care of your police officers either. But think of how wonderful it feels. It's cold in DC, and because it's the Eastern Seaboard, it's a weird, like muggy cold is the best way to describe how it is in like Maryland and DC and that whole area.
Swampy.
Mm-hmm. Swampy, but cold. It's like an impossible feeling. And to just have someone hand you a hot foil nugget of
a
God
sandwich.
Oh, that feels like love. It warms your hands.
I thought about that. I know. And you take a bite and you the emotion sets in because like your taste and your senses take over and something delicious in your mouth. And you're just like, I would probably start crying. I would lose my shit after the day I had to be like, here, I made you a beautiful egg sandwich.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I'm getting weepy thinking about
it. I know.
It, you
know? I know. Food is love and food unites. And we've seen a real fracture just occurring in our country. And a lot of those people were as extreme as it gets. It's not reflective of, I think, the way we do function as a society. Obviously, we keep shining lights on all the ways we are not for everybody and have absolutely oppressed and held people down. And it's a horrible story of racism all throughout our history. But this was some other something that is just like, wow, the privilege and complete delusion on full display right now is really, really yeah. frightening. But It we needed to see that so that we move forward. Never letting something like this or let one crazed man, I'll get off this. It's just that the point is like we've been doing everything wrong. Restaurants provide nourishment even for the least of us, the craziest of us. We all deserve food. We all deserve love. And the fact that we have been, you know, absolutely left out in the cold. This was just the real hero. The MVPs were restaurants yeah. yesterday.
It just goes to show that like people know their job and they know when to step up. And I think that's really what it is, that people know that they even restaurants that continue to do delivery into the night, you know, no pickup, no going in, but just like delivering food like through the night to people who need it and don't have any other means of getting it, which is great. So we thank you, DC restaurants, for fucking stepping it up and like continue to stay safe like with everybody else. And
and so, I hope on inauguration day you get like really cool laid back customers, but hard to say.
I sure hope so. Well, gosh, let's we want to do a server submitted episode for you guys today, which is what we talked about before. So let's just fucking dive in, shall we?
Yeah.
OK, so first story. So most recent dumbass of the week got a service bar ticket, which said Kettle One Up Key Lime Martini with no server in sight when I got it. I waited to make it until the server in question appeared. When she arrived, the server in question explained, he said, you know what it is. You know, he gets them all the time in Florida. To which I replied, hell no, I don't know what it is. Mind you, half of my family is born and raised in Florida. I know good key lime pies, and I could imagine what a key lime pie cocktail might be. But I bartend at an Italian restaurant in Philadelphia, which is somehow getting busier by the day.
Oh, God.
We do not have key limes, nor do I have time to figure out how to get that subtly sexual tart creaminess of a good key lime pie into a cocktail on the fly. I love this. You're right. It's an art. The server elaborates that the guest says it has vodka, lime, and pineapple. Okay. All right. Far from the actual recipe.
Specifications,
out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did my best, and later on, he was waiting to get in our single occupancy unisex restroom, which is a whole nother story. Send us stories about that, please. Yes. This guest appears. He's terminally bald and in his 60s, 70s, and he came directly up to my COVID-free service bar and told me, "Hey, I'm the troublemaker," as if I gave a shit. He explained he had just gotten back from Key West, where he got this cocktail everywhere. And I was missing the graham cracker crust. I wanted to tell him to go fuck himself with the COVID-covered microplane, but of course I played along and said, "I'm so sorry, but there's not much call for graham crackers or key limes in an Italian restaurant in Philadelphia, sir. I'm so glad you enjoyed your evening with us." Also, I forgot the dash of cream, which I would never just serve to a stranger. I love this person. Anyway, happy new year. Keep up the good work, fam. That's from Shapeshifter.
Oh, this is just... And this is a thing that we've all seen in restaurants and with bartenders when the customer clearly knows more than you.
I know.
And they go, "The bartender will know how to make it." And
they know what's up, I'm sure.
I mean, we're kind of back in the pocket of like the dirty on the side people. Remember that from a year ago? Everyone who's like, "Gross, there's olive juice in this dirty martini. You said you wanted that." No. Just put the dirty on the side.
Don't you miss that? I bet everybody misses those days where people like fucking ordering drinks like they're no clue what they're talking about. Now, as a couple of gals who used to enjoy some key lime martinis together back in the day.
Oh, God.
Way back in the day. There was absolutely graham cracker crust on these well thought out key lime martinis, which were basically like drinking melted ice cream. Let's not.
I'm going to
beat around the bush.
There is nothing more delightful than a sugar booze high, which, you know, until you develop your palate a little bit later in life, I totally understand the appeal. I also think like when you're not a liquor drinker, that's your gateway in, because who would never drink liquor in their life suddenly drink straight up vodka and go, "This is delicious."
Oh, it's, yeah. Kids in the Hall, classic girl drink drunk.
Girly drink drunk, baby. It's your gateway, you know?
It is a weird sugar buzz, a weird sugar high, which is why we're such tiki sluts.
I know, it's bad news, but especially when, you know, you go in on an empty stomach, it hits all the parts in your brain where it like serotonin, your stomach is happy, everything, you get the tingles. It's so good. But I remember one time I was, my mom and I went to Cancun together. That's a long story. And she's not a drinker. She barely drank red wine yet at that point, but all day, every day at the inclusive resort and on the beach, basically the servers just walk up and keep asking you, you know, "How many margaritas do you want?" And my mom and I drank ourselves under the table with margaritas every day because they're fucking delicious. She'd never really had one. And she was like, "They taste like this." And when we came home back to Michigan, my mom had to go to the hospital because of tachycardia and dehydration, because she'd never drank so much liquor in her life. And like she came back with her like fucking electrolyte levels all off, probably because she went a date without margaritas and her body was like, "Where's the sugar, salt, and booze?" And she had to like, it ended up just being like a heart flutter, but it was from the full on margarita fucking madness we had.
Now, the question was, though, was she like, "No, I want my margarita made like I had it in Mexico, actually."
You mean how I have been for the remainder of my life? You know, I'm a nightmare to get a margarita.
I know
with.
You are. Yeah. I know you kind of are. You're kind of like, actually, the bartender will not know what I'm talking about. So can I just go have a conversation with the bartender? I feel like that's Brooke.
But I told you, and thank God now there's a name for the way a real margarita is made, which is a skinny margarita.
Sure.
Anyways,
we don't Anyways, key lime martinis, different story. Man, also, like, I feel like drinks like that are a little out of fashion.
They are. We talked about it in our swing bar episode with Kara Clank, where, like, bringing, like, a tray full of all of these, like, ridiculous martinis sloshing into each other. Espresso martini.
Very early aughts. Very early aughts.
So early aughts. And the glasses. Yeah,
shapeshifter, though. Great story.
Glasses were too big, too. Just way too much of that in a glass. Fuck yeah, dude. Thank you for sending that in, shapeshifter.
Send bathroom stories, by the way.
Yeah, everyone send bathroom stories. Hint, hint.
Hint, hint, bathrooms.
Okay. Next on. This is fun because it's dipping back into retail, which I think we're going to revisit again because it opened a Pandora's box amongst our listeners and new people who are like, I have a lot of retail stories. So I think we'll start going there a little more. All right. Hi, I love the recent retail-focused episode, and I especially appreciated the shout-out to my fellow peeps who worked at video rental stores. While I've been in restaurants and bars for a while now, I spent 4 years slinging DVDs at a job I simultaneously loved and hated.
Nice.
Yep, I know the feeling. Video store rental is both customer service and retail, or sometimes neither, when you're trying to find another job after the store closes. Oh, got it. Yep. Because those went the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah.
People were more rude to me there than they ever were in 6 years of bartending after.
Wow, I fucking believe that 100%.
What do you mean you don't have this movie? Okay. Here's one of my favorite stories. One night, about an hour before closing, two of my coworkers get a call from a different video rental store in town warning them a lunatic in a red coat is headed their way. Who wants to get a call? This sounds like the rest.
It sounds like a Stephen King story.
Seriously.
Like, yeah.
Also, like, everyone in D.C. got a call at their restaurants yesterday. Lunatics in red hats are coming your way. Okay. About 15 minutes later, this man shows up. A big, stocky guy wearing a red windbreaker with a thick Italian-American accent. Okay. He wanted to open.
Sounds like a valet guy. I'm just saying.
I know. Seriously. He wanted to open an account so he could rent a few movies. To open an account, a person needed to be 18 or over and submit their name, phone number, some sort of ID number. We were pretty lenient on what people could use as an ID and an address. He refuses to show his ID or give us his phone number. He also wouldn't tell us his address, but he gave us instructions on how to find his apartment. As in, take two left turns and then go down a block. It's a white apartment building, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. While the guys working that night allowed him to bully them into renting him some movies, he was incredibly intimidating. And it's just not worth fighting someone over a $10 copy of Mystic Pizza or whatever he was renting. One of the managers eventually insisted on seeing the ID. He had an incredibly generic name like Gary Johnson, which, by the way, my parents voted for him in 2016. Anyways.
Or
something. Really not what you would guess upon hearing his accent. So we were all sure that he was some mobster sent to our tiny town through the witness protection program. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. This is adding up. Despite being so sketchy, he did manage to always return his movies on time and undamaged. So he was doing better than a lot of our customers. Hope he's all right these days. Thanks so much for all the hard work you two do. Godspeed and good tips, Jasmine.
Oh, man. I wonder if he just rented My Blue Heaven and Goodfellas like over and, he's like, and over again.
Like, those were the days. Those were the days.
I'm really hoping I can also coach a little league team at some point, which is part of the plot point of My Blue Heaven.
I love it. He's like, yeah.
I'm going to start doing movie reviews of obscure 80 movies anytime, you guys. This is going to be the new Patreon content.
Oh, boy.
Under Siege, followed by My Blue Heaven. And then, you know what? The third one, you guys pick. It's your turn to pick a movie.
We went back last week. Sean and I watched The Blues Brothers. It was so fucking good.
Dude, it really holds up. It's such a silly, silly film peppered with the hippest fucking musicians of the 70s or early 80s. 70s? Yeah, whatever.
It was, yeah.
About.
But because like I hadn't seen it in so long and I was just like, oh my God, I forgot that they got Aretha Franklin for a scene. Mm-hmm. The Cab Calloway. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's so good. If you've never seen the Blues Brothers.
I'm assuming that is when Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi had their shithole bar that they never charged anybody for drinks for, that they would bartend at and just do drugs into the night. And every single amazing musician, actor, poet, writer, artist, celebrity fucking hung out there. So they could do whatever they wanted.
They were royalty and they were like 29 years old. Mm-hmm. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, I actually want to learn more about that bar that they had where everyone drank for free. I know,
it would be fun to do. Maybe we'll dig deep and do like a really weird spinoff. Anybody knew if we just need, we could probably book Jim Belushi now. I'm sure he's not that busy. That's not a Jim Belushi.
Oh, God.
Joe Jim. All right, well, let's get into the next story. Here we go. Okay. Hi, ladies. I've been listening for a while now and hearing so many experiences. I thought you would enjoy one of the more memorable experiences I've had. Of course, I fucking love a segue sentence into a story.
Me too.
I'm a manager at a pretty huge wing bar in Texas. I won't name the place because my stories are some of the worst people, but the place is amazing. But I've done everything from serving, dishwashing, cooking, and bartender. So I'm very sympathetic towards my staff and always back them up, even at the expense of getting yelled at and occasional losing a guest. Fine. This is incredible. Probably not the best practice, but have a very high morale for the staff and that's happy to come to work and will pick up shifts for you when you can't. That's fucking crazy. I love this guy. Okay, so we have this membership for guests that if you buy two entrees or spend at least $18, you get either a free app or dessert depending on what the special is that week. But on occasion, we'll let the requirements slide to make the guest happy. No big whoop. We're in the business of putting smiles on faces.
This guy Very nice. Got a great attitude.
On the level. That being said, I won't tolerate assholes that come in with a mentality that their $20 is going to make or break our restaurant. Of course. This is a lot. There's a guy that was somewhat a regular who would always sit at the bar. Think a heavyset Paul Wall. I had to look that guy up, by the way. He's a rapper. Mixed with Fred Durst with a pencil-thin beard, grill, and covered in tacky jewelry. So you got that picture, Brooke?
Yes. Yes, okay. I do.
He calls me over to ask me what the special for the week is. I tell him that it's a certain app. And then he asks what he have to do to reach the requirements to get said free app. I look at his bill and tell him that he's $2 short of meeting the requirements. He said, okay, I just wanted to ask and I'll think about it. And then he goes back to talking with his friend. We get questions like this all the time. So I didn't think anything of it. I go to the bartender and tell them that if he asks, even without meeting the $2 tip, just give him the app and then I'll comp it and I'm happy to make him happy. And then hopefully the bartender will get a bigger tip. Great. About 30 minutes or so, a server goes up to me and says the guy at the bar was asking for me, thinking that he was calling me over to say that he appreciated the free app or he was going to ask another question. So I walk up to him with a smile and ask how his meal was. He cuts me off and tells me to wipe that fucking smirk off my face and how fucked up it was to not give him that app for free.
Okay.
Taken back by this response, I say, first off, sir, do not cuss at me. You never asked me for it. You just asked what the requirements were, but to get it. And I told you, I even asked you if you wanted it and you said that you would think about it. And if you would have asked for it, I would have given it to you, but you never asked for it. I'm a big guy over 6'6" and have been told that I can be pretty scary looking. So he lowers his tone after that. He then went on about me implying that he couldn't afford the extra $2, then informed me that he's a millionaire who drives a Maserati. Oh, my God. At this point, I'm already annoyed. So I respond with, are you complaining about spending extra $2, an extra $2? He says he's tired of this shit. And I agree and tell him that he should leave. And he tosses his card at the bartender while I'm standing there to make sure he doesn't try anything. And the greatest thing happens at that moment. The bartender drops the card in front of him and says, card declined. And the look of embarrassment on this asshole's face is fucking priceless. I go, Let me guess, you spent too much money at the Maserati store?
Tell you what, I'll take care of it tonight, big spender, while I pat him on the shoulder. And I watch him walk away looking completely defeated. I did get a complaint on it and was pulled into the office afterwards to explain what happened. But the bartender backed me up saying how rude the guest was. And I even took care of his meal for him when he said he didn't have enough money to pay. So, you know
what's the problem?
No problem.
Right.
Yeah, there's no problem. My GM agreed and I went back to work. Moral of the story, take care of your employees and they will do the same. I have a ton of stories from my decade or so in the service industry that if you'd like me to share, yes, we'd love for that. I will give them to you. From the time a guest tried to fight me over a booth, how a guest just assumed I was getting married and tipped me a huge amount of money, or how I accidentally got in the middle of a gunfight by breaking up a fight. Wow. Keep up the great work and keep putting smiles on faces. Jay.
Oh my God, boy. Jay. Yes, we want to hear...
Send them all. Send them all, guys. Send them all. Tell us all the stories.
All of them. It could be a whole episode, maybe not, but the dark, mystifying places people go to in their minds about the booth. What is it about booths?
We should do a booth
what
episode.
The fuck?
Oh fuck. Brian's going. Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. 100% do a booth episode.
And they always want it for two people and it's a 10-person booth and I don't get it. Okay.
Well, real estate. Well, we should quit talking about it because we don't want to spoil anything for you guys when we do the booth episode.
But definitely, Jay.
Not John Wilkes Booth.
No. That guy sucks. Definitely send a story about someone fighting you over a booth. Yeah. That's crazy, but I love that is such like a male fragility, toxic masculinity thing to be like, I'm a fucking millionaire with a Maserati. And you
don't know I drive a Maserati, I'm a millionaire. I just asked you about $2 for that. What I have to do. Like,
it's just people take the weirdest things so personally, especially when it comes to money, especially when they're trying to like look like the fucking big dog, you know. And it's just amazing that you would throw attitude like that, because guess what happens? Your card gets declined anytime you do shit like that.
Yep. Instant karma, baby.
Bitch. I did get an article from Aaliyah that Pence was out to eat last week and tipped $5 on a $45 tab.
Oh, dear
buddy
Lord.
Boy, I know. Granted, I'm excited to watch him continue to do the right things. Good for Mike Pence.
His whole family was in the Capitol yesterday.
Yeah, that whole thing. Oh, my God. Anyways. Yeah, it's always the person who's like, I'm a fucking millionaire. And then they tip 15%. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
That's how you do it, by being right. cheap. That's how you have all this money, by never sharing it.
Yeah, but, you know, don't be a fucking asshole about it. Just do what you're supposed to do. You don't need to tip it astronomically. Save that for the angels. Just do what you're supposed to do.
The wealthiest and most generous people with their wealth never look like the person who is wealthy, because they're not play acting.
It's basically like an episode of Undercover Boss, which I'll also be reviewing on Patreon. I don't know why I'm stuck on this runner. I'm gonna go with it though.
But I have to you know, maybe a new thing we could do too is like, I never really got into that show Bar Rescue, and I was remembering that Kira Klink worked on it, and I was like, oh man, we should go back and maybe like watch some episodes and get everyone on the pod to listen to like everyone who listens to watch a certain episode of Bar Rescue, and then we'll break it down together. Maybe
bring back the live stream it.
Maybe that'll be Patreon content, but that could be really, really fun, because you know our brains would fucking explode watching that show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're gonna do another story, round it out nicely. I love that we had two
restaurant and two retail this week.
Oh, the next one must be is retail then.
Great. It is. I'm just handling the retail tip today. So
I love it. I love it.
Here we go. Hi, ladies. I started out at Long's. Do you know what a Long's is?
Long's Drug. It's I believe West Coast based. Yeah.
I assumed it was that. I've just never been in one. So, okay. I started out at Long's when I was 15 and a half. Intended originally as a way to get out of the house and make a little money, but turned into an 11-year abusive relationship of sorts.
Wow.
Long's was great. I miss it. But when they got bought out by CVS, things went downhill fast. A once fully staffed store became a skeleton crew to save corporate money. I have so many stories about extreme couponers. I want to hear them. Disgruntled people who don't understand that cashiers don't make the return policies, and shoplifters. So many of these stories, I could write a novel. In the meantime, just send them our way. Okay.
Yeah.
One really out there story that sticks out is the time I had a man in his 60s ask me to bear his children. That is somehow more offensive than someone just saying nice ass. Yeah. Okay. This man would come in, stroll around aimlessly, then come up and talk me to death, regardless of if I was on the floor or on the register. Ugh. He escalated to calling the store to ask if I was working and when I was off, which you're not allowed to give out that fucking information ever.
Jesus.
About anyone. God. I was in my early 20s at this time and had no idea what to do. And clearly neither did anyone who is in charge of your fucking store. God. I'd politely tell him that I'm not allowed to give that information to people. So he took to just sitting in his car outside the store until he saw me leave.
Oh my God.
God, management wasn't worried about him and refused to confront him. He called one day saying he would really like to meet up with me one day because he had a special gift for me, one that only God can give.
Oh, Jesus.
I have chills. Okay. I obviously declined and immediately went to my boss.
Oh my God.
I know. Come to find out, he had been in the store earlier and asked the assistant manager to give his number to any young brunette woman with blue eyes. She knew immediately he was talking about me in her early to mid 20s because he wanted someone to help him carry on his family name. Still skeeved me out thinking about it. Corporate refused to do anything about it because, quote unquote, he's harmless and he gets his meds here. We can't lose his business. Are we sure he's getting his meds?
Yeah, right? It doesn't sound like he might be getting them, but I'm not sure he's taking them.
He's getting the sugar pills, you know what I'm saying?
Yeesh.
He continued to come in almost daily. I worked out a code among my coworkers for them to announce over the speakers so I could go hide in the warehouse until he was gone. God damn. Between that and having a boss who didn't think women should speak unless spoken to, and the only words you were allowed to say to him were, yes, sir, I quit. It was 2 days before Black Friday. Oh, hell yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I'm now a baker for Noah's Bagels. Same thing as Brugger's, different name. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Ooh, I have to go get some now because that's what we have in LA. And I don't have to deal with customers ever. Oh, yeah. You've got those weird baker's hours, girls. Girl. So she says, you two get me through my week. Thank you for everything. And I am so sorry for the novel I just unloaded on you.
No.
Never say you're sorry.
Never be sorry.
Godspeed and good tips, Amanda.
Dude, this is fucking horrible, Amanda.
This brings up a different side of the topic of like how few protections we have as workers. And it's an episode about creepy customers who start stalking, male and female. I mean, women, I think, get the scarier version of it, you know. And as a bartender, we've talked about regulars who are really creepy, but you're like, I can't prove they're going to do anything to me, but I just have bad, bad vibes.
But there's an obsession there.
Yep.
Absolutely. Someone who sits on the other side of the bar and like, it was really like giving me horror story, like flashbacks of people who I know who have dealt with stuff like this in the service industry. Thank you for shedding light in the retail side of it. Like, I don't ever think about stuff like that, Amanda, but like, there's fucking creeps everywhere.
And
you have to protect yourself and you think you're doing the right thing. But for a corporation not to have your back when and obviously the person who ran this joint was a fucking creep himself. And that's a recipe for disaster that in the restaurant industry happens all the time.
All the time. Just because it's a bunch of, again, toxic male energy saying like, he's harmless. And it's like, you've never been threatened by anyone, you motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You don't know what it's like to walk to your car every night with your keys between your knuckles like you're fucking Wolverine, you know? And it really... It's scary because they ignore the signs. It's escalating. And then guess who goes missing, you know? And then you're like, oh, in hindsight, must have been that creepy guy who stalked our employee.
And the amount of stress that you must have been going through during that entire run that you worked there is fucking insane. The stress put on your body, on your mental state, and to be gaslit all the time and told that it wasn't that big of a deal.
You're so young.
Is fucking crazy.
Of course you don't.
Which happens to so many of us in our 20s as young women. Like, this is 100% what happens over and over and over again.
Yep. And I do think there is this like fantastic reason behind true crime with women reporting it being such a cultural revolution, because we're helping teach younger generations the shit that no one bothered to share on our behalf, that we all had to learn the hard way. And I think, you know, that's why we love My Favorite Murder and all the murderinos, because they're learning what they say over there all the time, which is fuck politeness, you know, mm-hmm. and to advocate mm-hmm. for yourself. Because sadly, in the service industry and retail, just giving someone customer service, they'll read it the wrong way if they're not mentally well. And they think it's an invitation or that you like them, when it's just the politeness and the nature of your job.
It reminds me of, like, you know, if you see a coyote, be big, make yourself right. big and yell and be like, get the fuck away from me. So right. if you see a predator, make it known that you are not going to take any shit.
I know. And I am such, like, you can, when I was younger, you used to be able to roll over me. And I always wish I had the capacity for being a bitch. Bitches don't get fucked with, but I've never had, you know, I know you call me a bitch a lot and I love you and I know it's endearing, but you know, I can't, I'm too scared to be mean or to stand my ground.
Yeah, we call each other bitches. It's definitely different. Like, I think that I agree and I'm glad that Amanda's out of the situation, but it's just like, fuck man, it really does take you back to all the shit that you endured, like you're saying.
Yeah, and Blech. We definitely know better now, and there's just a lot more advocacy, a lot more women who, you know, are very, very regimented about looking out for the other women, because that's how we've survived life, is protecting each other from men. And then just more men in general who are woke and look after their entire staff. So I don't want to throw everyone under the bus. We hear like we heard about Jay up there looking after his staff, our friend Jason. Oh, yeah. You know, we know there are lots of really great male managers too, who really look out for the ladies and their men, everyone on their staff, you know, but
very, very metaphoric for being fucking terrorized by a fucking older asshole psycho for a while. We've all been dealing with that in a huge capacity.
No one knows where he is. Did you realize that? No one knows his whereabouts. Like, they're really? Like, no one's seen him. I mean, they assume he's hiding somewhere in the White House. You know, but like, I'm like, are we sure?
I mean, he's banned from social media, so I feel like he can't be pinged.
Well, he got back on today. He was allowed back on at about 6 a.m. this morning.
I know. He went through a staffer. I thought he went through like someone else. He was like, give me your phone. I'm tweeting through your account. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Right. But it's like that staffer has 1,300 followers. And so it tweets that way where it's like, everyone, this is actually Donald Trump broadcasting to you. RT. Like,
get real, bozo. God, we know it's not.
We should have all done that on our own accounts yesterday. Said, everyone, this is not Brooke.
I'm Spartacus.
Fucking asshat.
Oh God. Well, God, you guys, as always, if you have any of those server submitted stories, like we always say, send them our way. I love doing server submitted episodes, actually. I think they're so fun.
Because you guys just, Andrea and I only have so many experiences, and to, you know, hear everything from you guys all across the country and globally, it's just the best. They're never the same, other than that customers are always the same pieces of shit. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're all united hearing them.
Exactly. So if you've been sitting on it, thinking about it, we love throwing these your way. And we do full server submitted story episodes, especially for the Patreon. If you really like these, you can join at a $5 a month level. And we've got a few
God, a few hours at this point of really fun stories you guys have sent us. Obviously, we're not trying to keep them all captive over there. We like to put them on the regular free Friday, you know, show as well.
God, well, that was a fun episode, and we'll be back next week. Who knows what will be happening right now? But like we'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got
this bathroom story,
bathroom, not like your personal bathroom at home, please. Okay. We're talking about the wacky, wild world of a restaurant and bar bathroom and all the weird shit you've seen or experienced.
The wild west of Westeros Whiz Palaces.
That's what I,
The John. Okay. We love you guys. And you know what we say at the end?
We love you and you're very special.
We love you and you're very special.
Oh my God, you guys. Godspeed.
And good tips.
Holy shit. Stay safe, you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're very special.
Stop it!
I love you very much.